we're on a journey. And Dave talked about that a little bit. We started a journey, got to know each other the last year or so, not quite a year, and it's been an interesting journey. What is a journey? Well, it's not just something made by Dodge, right? Sorry there, John, I know. I am a Dodge guy, he's a Chev guy. He has yet to convert me, so that's okay. You can still keep praying for me, brother. A journey is there's a origin, a place of origin, and a destination, right? And some of us are more people that want to get to the destination. And sometimes the journey isn't always as enjoyable. Some of us men, can you relate? Say, well, you know, why do you always have to go to the bathroom so much, kids? Why do you always have to always be stopping to ask for a pee break? Some of you maybe know that. Amen, young families? Yes, yes. There we go. How many of you know that sometimes you've heard that statement, it's not so much the destination, but the journey, right? And I want us to think about that as we begin together our journey. And that sometimes we can have our minds too focused on heaven. You say, what? Too focused? Well, we'll get a little bit more into that later. But that's, you know, there's that old statement, you can be too heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Sometimes we can just be here twiddling our thumbs until Jesus comes. And that's certainly not what I would want for myself or any of you, is just to be sitting around and, oh yes, I'm saved, I signed the dotted line, and now I'm just waiting. No, we don't wait, we go. Jesus has called us to go and make disciples. So we must go, and that's a journey. That's a journey that we're going to take. And I drew our attention, and thank you, Theus. Did I get that name right? Was it? Thaniel. Yes, thank you, Thaniel, for reading that. Really appreciate that. It's great. Drew our attention to one of my favorite passages in the Gospels, the road to Emmaus. Wow. You know why it's my favorite? And maybe it's some of your favorites? Because I can relate with these guys. Some of us, we know, you know, if we were, you know, we know the beginning from the end of the Gospels, don't we? We know that Jesus died, he rose again, you know. These guys, they knew it, but they didn't know it. And how many of us sometimes we get discouraged, right? And we let our emotions take control. So I want you guys to think about, there's going to be 3 points. So it's a good Baptist sermon, 3 points, right? Good Christian sermon. And then we got 5 words today. 3 points, 5 words. Got it? So the 5 words are discouragement, disillusionment, direction, devotion, and destination. So a little bit of alliteration for you this morning. You got those? Okay. So we have discouragement, disillusionment, direction, devotion, destination. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So we have a journey, and we're all on this journey. And I want to say before I look into the scriptures, I received an email just before I came here a couple months ago from one of you lovely folks. And that email said, we are very excited for you to come and minister with us. And boy, you know what? Have you ever read something, either in the scriptures or in a book, and something just leaps off the page to you? That word with just leapt off the page to me. And I love that word with. With us. And so we're on a journey. And these disciples were on a journey with Jesus. We are on a journey with Jesus. And so it's not just about me. As your pastor, I am the shepherd that God has called me to this place for such a time as this, to shepherd you and to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we're doing this together. And if you don't know it, I'll say it, and I'll probably say it lots of times, the type of leader that I am is a collaborative leader. And I want to do it together. Let's do this together. We're doing this with you and with Jesus. But it's not always easy. And so we're going to experience some times of discouragement and disillusionment. And sometimes doubt. And I think this is what some of these disciples were experiencing right here. Think about it for a minute. Get your imaginations going for just a second, okay? From verses 13 through 15. So you want to put that up there. Discouragement, disillusionment are pathways that lead us to Christ. You say, how does that work? How does that work? Well, it says, now that same day, what was that same day? This is Resurrection Day. The same day. These two disciples are walking along. We just read about the resurrection. If you read the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24, the resurrection had just taken place, and it was an amazing time. And obviously, as we read later on in the account, that these two disciples had been made aware that there is something that had happened. There's no body there. They're gone, and these women told us about it, right? And also, if we think back, all that these two disciples, Cleophas and this other person, had experienced during that week. They were journeying away from Jerusalem after a crazy week. Just think about their week for a second. Any of you had a crazy week this week? Yeah. Crazy, busy, crazy, hard week. These disciples can relate with you. They had a crazy week. They were leaving Jerusalem. It was Resurrection Day. They went back to a place they knew. How many of you, when you have a time of discouragement or time of going through a tough time, that you go back to a place that's comfortable to you? Place that you know? Any of us? Anyone willing to admit that? Yeah, we go to a place that we know. This is what they were doing. This is their home. Emmaus was their home. They went back to that place. Comfort and stability. Or at least they thought it was a place of comfort and stability. How many of us know that a place can't necessarily bring total comfort? A physical place on this earth. Can't, can it? No. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author of comfort. Well, these men, they were talking on the way. They're trying to figure it out. Because they had been through, you know, the triumphal entry. Think about it for a second, right? They had seen these people waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna in the highest. Wow. And then all of a sudden, they probably, imagine it for a second, these same disciples maybe saw the same people who had said Hosanna in the highest saying, Crucify him! Whoa, what a contrast. I thought you believed it. What? Huh? Really? If, just get in your emotional state for a second and think about where the headspace of these disciples was. That some of these people, maybe some of them were friends of theirs. We don't know. And they, one minute they're saying, or if one day they're saying, Hosanna in the highest, the next day they're saying, crucify him. And then they see him whipped maybe and beaten and of course up on the cross. Oh my word. What a range of emotions within 7 days. And there they are. And then now all of a sudden, okay, he's buried. And then some women told us. Sorry, ladies, you probably all know, and even today, in the Middle East, you know, I think it was Saudi Arabia that just gave women the right to drive, right? It's pretty, male chauvinist driven in that area. And it was back then. A testimony of a woman was seen as something down here wasn't even reliable, much like the shepherds, right? Very interesting how God works and the people he goes to first. And so, the way that they were raised, these two disciples would be like, well, it was a woman's testimony, so I don't really know if it's trustworthy. Sorry, ladies. Just to let you know, I don't believe that now. Okay. But it was then, so they're debating. And so, come with me for a second. Again, using your imaginations, the conversation that was taking place between these two disciples. Jesus said he was going to save us, but he died. Yeah, and now his body's gone. Didn't he say he was going to rise again? I'm just not so sure. He was a great prophet. Remember all those miracles? Wow, the feeding of the 5,000? That was amazing. And this question came to my mind this week that could have been asked in this conversation. Was the last few years we spent with him a waste of our time? Was the last 3.5 years we spent with Jesus a waste of our time? I don't know if they asked these questions. I don't know if this was the conversation they had. But it's just thoughts that was flowing through my head as I read these first couple, verses 13 through 15. Maybe this conversation took place, maybe it didn't. But there was grief there. And they were very engrossed in the conversation. Any of you ever been really engrossed in a conversation before that you don't know anything that's going on around you? Anyone willing to admit that? Yeah, there's sometimes. I had two friends one time that actually leaders in the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. They were going to a meeting they had to be at a certain time in Toronto. Anyone driven around Toronto 401? It's a little crazy around there, isn't it? I'd rather avoid that, thank you very much. But they were there, and they were engrossed in a conversation, these two leaders, and they were supposed to get off on a certain off-ramp. And did they make that off-ramp? Nope. They drove an hour past the place where they were supposed to turn off because they were so engrossed in talking about wonderful things of the Lord and everything like that. So they were 2 hours late for their meeting because they had to double back. So we can get engrossed in our conversations, can't we? We can also get engrossed in the discouragements and the disillusionment that we often face in this world. We get so engrossed in that that's all we see. We only see this far in front of us. We don't see anywhere else. So they were kept from recognizing him. And I've battled with that word kept for a while. And I looked at it this week again. To be kept from recognizing him. Was it because they were engrossed in their conversation? Was it because they were discouraged? Because it says they were just after that, they were downcast. Of course they were discouraged. Of course they were sad. But I think we have to think about here is God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And that word kept, I think, speaks of divine sovereignty. As well as, I would say it may be a bit of both, but maybe more of his divine sovereignty. Because sometimes, you know what? We're not ready to hear the truth that God has for us. Maybe we're not at that point. Maybe we need to walk through a certain part of our lives first. And obviously, at that very moment, even though it was just a few minutes, maybe an hour or so later, I'm not sure exactly the timeline. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Not sure exactly at what point that Jesus met up with them. But there was some period of time that passed between when he first joined them and when they got to the house and he broke the bread. So there was God's sovereign will was at place guiding them from being kept and keeping them from recognizing him. They weren't the only ones, right? Mary didn't recognize Jesus. There's others that didn't recognize Jesus because of divine circumstances, because of their own emotional state of mind at the time. But ultimately, God kept them from recognizing him. I'm kind of glad, you know, as I think about this, that if we knew all and all that God had for us in our lives moving forward, would we be any more faithful? Or would we be filled with so much fear and maybe more discouragement? You know, that's going to happen to me. I'm going to get a diagnosis of that. I don't know. Or this, you're going to bring this into my life, really? So I think it's great in a way that God keeps things from us in a way so that we don't fully always understand, but that we have to walk by faith, right? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. But we also need to be aware of getting in touch with the discouragement, with the disillusionment in our lives. Sometimes, for some of us, it may be very hard to be open about that with somebody or with our doubts about faith related things or scripture related things. Is there something in your life that you're dealing with right now through discouragement, through maybe you're a little disillusioned? Where are you at? The thing is, we need to be open about that. We need to have a place of vulnerability, a place or a relationship with somebody here. Someone, this is a place where we can be open about our needs. The body of Christ is a place where, as Paul says, when one part hurts, all parts hurt with it, right? If we can't be open here about our doubts, our discouragements, our questions about faith, where can we be? We need to be open. This needs to be a place of transparency. On the journey of faith that we have, we can't just say we have it all together and have everything, you know, in a nice, neat little package. No. It's that vulnerability. It's that transparency. It's that openness and having people walk alongside that's so important, that builds our faith. Because there's someone here, I'm sure, that is going through that and needs someone to walk alongside them. And maybe you've had those experiences. Continue in those. Press into those relationships, those godly relationships. And there may be times where you just don't feel like being faithful. But continue to be. Continue in that. Just don't let brokenness, disillusionment, discouragement define you. Don't let it define you. Some scriptures for us in regards to thinking about that and how we walk that out. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. A burden is something bigger than what you can bear yourself. You have to do it together, right? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we all know, I'm sure. Come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So is there anything that we may be carrying that is hindering our journey with Jesus right now? Is there discouragement and disillusionment in here? Maybe some doubt in some of our lives? Is there something like that here? I want you to take a moment. Or maybe there's something, a sin in your life that's holding you back from being all that God wants you to be. I want to take just a brief moment of quiet, stillness, reflection to slow your minds and hearts down to a place where Jesus wants to meet you here right now. Jesus wants to meet you on the Emmaus Road. I want to imagine for a second, we're all on that Emmaus Road. And maybe there's something that's blocking our minds or our hearts from the full revelation or a fuller, more of a revelation of His Word, His truth to us that He wants to give to us. Just take a moment. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Just give it over to Jesus. Release that hurt, that pain, that sin. Lord Jesus, thank you for the burdens that have been released here today. The disillusionment, the discouragement, and doubt, and maybe who you are, or just asking, Jesus, reveal more of yourself to us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you and you give us rest. You teach us. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Father, I pray that if there's even someone here today that is just still struggling with releasing it, that they would do that before the end of the service today. That they would just release that burden, release whatever maybe something from far back in their past, maybe something that just happened yesterday. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would bring freedom, because your Word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you that we can come and confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray for the cleansing of your blood upon every heart, upon every life, upon every family here today. And that you would take each of us up out of the miry clay and put our feet on the rock, which is you. Thank you, Jesus. Give us that new perspective to see you. Give us that direction and devotion. Increase our hunger for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Direction and devotion. We see this happening next. We read these words in Luke, the passage we just read in the Amplified Version. And Jesus said to them, verse 25, O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, and slow of heart to believe, adhere to and trust in and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary and essentially fitting that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer all these things before entering his glory, his majesty, and splendor? So what do the prophets and Moses say about Jesus? Genesis 3:15, right after the fall of man. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That was fulfilled at the cross. Jesus crushed Satan. Isn't that wonderful news for us this morning, church? Satan has been crushed. He can still come and try to natter at us. But we see through Colossians chapter 2 these promises that he has made a public spectacle of all the principalities and powers, triumphing over them by what? The cross. The cross. The victory is in Jesus. The victory is in Jesus. He crushed him. Crushed him. Paul talks about that in Romans as well. Been crushed. Romans 16, 19 and 20. We read these words in Numbers 21, 9. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. What do we read in John 3? Right, just as the snake was risen in the desert, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and all who look on him will have life. Right? Wow. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. This is Jesus. Of course, we know Isaiah 7:14 and 9:6. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm sure, and I know there are many other passages that speak of Christ in that way. But imagine being those disciples, being reminded of those things as he taught along the way. What was spoken about him. And that, yes, they were dull. And they were not quick to understand. But are we any different? Are we any different today? We aren't, are we? We have to be reminded and reminded. And if all of you remembered everything every pastor had said from up here, you would never have needed to call me. I'll just be honest, right? You wouldn't necessarily need a pastor. You wouldn't need that person. You know, but we need to be reminded on a constant basis. I need to be reminded on a constant basis. The more I read God's word, the more I know I don't know. Anyone say amen to that? Amen. Amen. The more I read the word, the more I know I don't know. We serve a big God. Amen. We serve a God who is beyond our understanding. His ways are higher than our ways and past finding out. But Jesus here doesn't leave the disciples at a place of discouragement and disillusionment or doubt. He brings direction through the words that I have just spoken. God's word will always bring perspective and direction. Always. Well, always. When you're seeking an answer to something in your life, go to the word. Go to the word. When you're looking for comfort, when you're looking for something to give you strength, go to the word. Go to the word. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Ask. Right? Jesus says to us in Luke 11 that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. If your earthly fathers will not withhold from you, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Give them the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Jesus gave disciples, his disciples, the disciples, and us, direction. Isn't it interesting, often, that when Jesus reveals something to us, he leaves or he steps back. We see here as they approached, they went into the house and they broke bread together, and the Spirit was revealed at that time, and they recognized him, and then he left. Do you find that a little strange? Sometimes it's a little strange. Why wouldn't you just stay and explain more? I want to know more. But that was the truth that he had given to them at that time, and they had recognized who he was. He was the risen Messiah. He had overcome the grave. And they recognized him. But then he left. Sometimes for us, God gives us a truth, and he lets us marinate in it for a while. We might not fully understand all that we've read. Anyone been there as you've been reading, you've been working through something in the scriptures? I can't wrap my head around that concept quite yet. I know I've heard my voice say that. I'm sure if I get an amen from every one of you one point in time in your life or another, right? But we see here that Jesus sometimes leaves us in that tension of not totally knowing. But yet, they recognized him. And what did they do? They said these words, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Our hearts burning within us. Do you think back when you first met Jesus in your life, and that passion, that desire to give your life over to him, what that looked like? Was it deep? Was it something that really, there's a passion, there's a joy, there's a hope in your life? I'm sure if we were to stay here, we'd be here all afternoon, and maybe some of you over lunch, we can share some of those stories. I love hearing stories of when people came to faith in Christ and where you're at now, where God is, what God is teaching you right now. We're not our hearts burning within us. When you have a new truth, when you have something new you've found out, whether it be in the scriptures or somewhere else, but especially in the scriptures, do you get excited about it? Anyone here? Yeah? You get excited. That's good. It's good to be excited about new things that God is revealing to you. I've talked to a few of you even since I've been here, and there's things that God has been teaching you, things that God's been revealing to you that are exciting. Tell me stories. I don't recommend calling me at 3 a.m. in the morning, though, okay? If God reveals something to you at 3 a.m., wait till about 8, thank you. I hope you can wait that long. Or text me, because I'll have it on silent or have my phone shut off. But anyway, we need to get excited, church. Amen? We need to get excited about God's Word, and we need the world to see that excitement. Not as something of shoving the gospel down, but embodying the gospel too. Amen? That we're not shoving the gospel down them because, you have to meet these certain requirements, bang, no. Because this is what Jesus did in my mind. This is what Jesus did to my heart, in my life. And I want everyone to know. I want everyone to know that Jesus loves me and he loves you the same. Amen? Yes. Wow. I encourage you to read Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 7 through chapter 3, verse 3. It talks about Ezekiel there being given the word of God to eat and then to speak. The word of God to eat and speak, that he is an image of a scroll being eaten there. And that reminded me of just how the connection point to this passage here, of how Jesus fed their souls with the word and then he fed their stomachs. Heard a little bit about that last week from Doug, right? And so we have that point. Oftentimes when we share a meal or something like that, there is that openness, right? But that we feed on the Word. We feed on the Word. And sometimes when we have that excitement and that joy, we need to be aware too, and in Ezekiel we see that, and throughout the whole book of Ezekiel, that when we go, we're not always received very well when we get excited about God's Word, right? And Ezekiel sure wasn't. The prophets, a lot of them were stoned, they're thrown in pits, right? So you may get excited about God's Word, and that's good. And don't let the pressure that comes against you, which it will come, Church, be ready. There is those who are in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Talks about that in Timothy, right? We will suffer persecution. But don't let that dampen your joy. May it feed it even more. And may you ask God, may we all ask God for wisdom in how to live out the gospel and embody the gospel to a world that rejects the gospel, right? We are living in a world that totally rejects the truth. We're living in a society that is totally rejecting truth, that is very morally relativistic. So I encourage you today that we have discouragement in our life, we have disillusionment, but Jesus gives us direction. And as he does, our devotion needs to rise. And say, were not our hearts burning within us? Are your hearts burning within you today, church? To share and to show the gospel that means so much to you. Or we sit back and say, well, we'll let the world look after itself. The world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway. Don't worry, you know. No. May there be that fire that's stoked inside of each and every one of us as we journey with Jesus, that our hearts may burn within us. As we gather together each Sunday, as we gather together in our small groups and our Bible studies, that fire of the Word of God would burn ever brighter in our hearts and in our minds, so that truth would be the pathway which we take. We read this in Psalm 119, we all know it, that your Word would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? May it burn brighter. That you say, oh, I don't know where to walk. I don't know how to explain the gospel to somebody. Well, we need to embody that gospel first. We need to say, you know what, Jesus, just let me bless somebody. You know what Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says? God's kindness and his forbearance and his patience lead us to repentance. Lead us to repentance. Isn't God kind and forbearing with us? Amen? We need to be kind and forbearing with those outside our doors. Amen? Not that if we see someone stuck in a sin, you know, not only in the church, but outside the church, we need to encourage them, help them, ask God for wisdom how to speak into their lives. Because it's messy. Discipleship and evangelism and outreach, these things are messy. That's why, as Dave read my philosophy of ministry, care is so important. You need to care for the person. And that person needs to know that you care. There's the old statement that still rings true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? We need to, of course, know the Word. Be steeped in the Word. Have that direction. Have that devotion. But let it come out as care, as love. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. The Word says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Are we going to be a building up church? Do we want to build up the kingdom in Claire's home? Do you want to see that built up? Amen? Oh, I don't know. Amen? There we go. You're still awake. That's good. We want it built up because, you know what? For myself, and I know for many of you, I want to take as many with me to heaven when I go. Amen? Well, there is a destination that we have. We have a destination. Our journey's destination is where? Heaven. But Jesus said he's came to give us life and life abundantly now. There's abundant life offered to each and every one of us now. And we see here the response of the disciples. When they had been given direction and devotion, that maybe they were still battling, I don't know. Maybe not, with a little bit of discouragement. But it says there, they got up at once and returned. They didn't say, well, let's just stick around, eat a little bit more supper. Then we'll go. No! They got up at once and left. Okay, I'm out of here. No, I'm just kidding. Gotta go. There's people out there that need Jesus. They need to see Jesus. Right? I had the wonderful opportunity of sharing Jesus this week. That man needs Jesus. Pray for him. His name is... He asked me this question. Do you believe in the afterlife? I said, amen, hallelujah, I believe in the afterlife. What a question. What an opening. What a door. What a door. Hallelujah. And we had a wonderful conversation about many spiritual things. And I said, he said, well, it's just about good works. No, it's not about good works. It's not about good works. It's about the work that was done on the cross by Jesus Christ. I said, you believe that? He said, yeah, that wasn't very convincing to me, but we're going to continue our conversation, right? We're going to continue our conversation. And I've been praying for him, and God's opening doors already. So we're excited about that. We go at once. So these disciples, their discouragement, disillusionment had turned into direction and devotion and gave them a new destination. Isn't it interesting that they, you know, had a 360 or a 180, I guess you'd call it, a 180. They went from Emmaus right back to Jerusalem. And I think their journey back was a little bit better than their journey to Emmaus. Amen? That they had a new passion, a new desire, a new focus. And I pray that's the case for all of us here today. That when you come on Sundays, it's not just to, you know, it's to worship, it's to praise Jesus, it's to hear the word spoken. But does the word change you? Does this service change you, even in a slight little bit, a new trajectory in your life, to go out and say, I want to live more fully devoted to Jesus? Does it? I leave that with you. Marinate in that question. Does it change you? Does the word change you? Because it's meant to change all of us, to change our trajectory, our direction, our devotion. It's not just to go through the motions to come to church. It's to change us, to renew us, to shape us. I love their response here. When they get to Jerusalem, they say, verse 34, it is true. There's an exclamation mark there, so we have to yell. No. It is true. The Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon. It is true. What they first thought was, well, maybe it wasn't quite true, wasn't too sure. It is true. Is it true that the Lord has risen? Is it true, church? The Lord has risen. What do we say on Easter Sunday? The Lord has risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. The Lord has risen. Amen. Is that going to change us, church? It should. It needs to change us. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. We sing it, but do we live it? Do we live as if Jesus is with us every moment? We have abundant life now, and we have the promise and the assurance of eternity. Wow. Jesus wants us to bring others on the journey with him. He wants us to, as our vision says, we want to be rooted deep and branching out because we serve a risen Savior, because he's given us so much to be thankful for, that abundant life, that life just... that life like is talked about in Jeremiah 15 and Psalm 1. To be planted by streams of living water. He's given us that life. So I want to encourage you today. All of us are on the Emmaus Road. All of us. Can you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus? He's alive in your heart. Do you believe it today, church? Jesus is alive in your heart. Do you believe it? Is he just a concept? Or does he consume every moment of your life? Every thought you think? Is Jesus just a concept to you? Or is he everything? Does he consume every thought? I pray he becomes more of that consuming fire. More of that passion that burns inside, deep within each and every one of us. That as we journey with him, that he would consume us. We want more of his truth, more of his life. He's here for you to give you a new direction, new slant on life. Maybe some of you are here and you haven't accepted Jesus. I don't know. You haven't made him the Lord of your life. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Today is the day. He's here to hear you. He's just a prayer away. He's here to hear you. He's here to heal you. Heal your sin-sick soul. He's here for you. He sticks closer than a brother. Do you recognize him? He's here. He's here in this sanctuary this morning. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear his voice and live the abundant life that he has for you. He loves every one of you so much that even if you were the last person on earth, He still would have died for you. He loves you so much. Will you return that love? Will you return that devotion to Him? He's here to open our minds and eyes to truth. Are you ready to hear the truth of His Word? Hear it and live. Jesus understands you. He understands you. He's here for you. He's with you. He's walking with us. Let's pray. And I'm going to call the worship team up after. If you're here today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and you say, I want to journey with Jesus. I had some discouragements and doubts, but I know that He wants to direct me. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I want that relationship with Jesus. I just want you to, with your eyes closed, heads bowed, just put your hand up and say, yes, I want Jesus in my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray for those who've just raised their hands. Father God, that you have that plan for their lives. And I pray, and just pray this simple prayer with me in your hearts, along with these individuals who have raised their hands. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I want to live for you from this day forward. I acknowledge my sin before you, that it has separated me from a relationship with you. I give it over to you now, acknowledging that you died on the cross and that you took the penalty of my sins in my place and that you rose again, defeating sin and death for me so that I can have eternal life now. Lord Jesus, come in and walk with me in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as you prayed that, you have been made new. Thank you, Jesus. And Father God, I pray for others who are here today. Maybe there are some who have been Christians for a long, long time and that just need that fire stoked again. That there's some discouragement, some disillusion. Maybe they're asking, has my Christian walk been a waste of time? Father God, I pray for those that, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here that the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, I just need to recommit and say, hey, yes, I am sold and I want that fire. I want more of Jesus in my life, less of myself. If that's you, just ask you to raise your hand as a sign of commitment. You want more of Jesus in your life. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who have raised their hands. And I pray, Father, for all of us as we begin this journey together, that you would stoke that fire. That there would be less of us, less of our own understanding, more of your understanding, Lord Jesus. That there would be just a special touch of your Holy Spirit revealing truth to our innermost parts. And that there would be a greater freedom to embody the gospel to a world that is filling their lives with so much that is not the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that as we go from this place now, that the destinations that we go to, the places that you have for us, there's areas of influence here that probably many of us aren't aware of, that people see us, people look to us and are looking at us. How are they seeing us, Lord Jesus? I pray that they'd be seeing Jesus in us and through us. In every eye that sees us, in every person that we walk with and talk with. We may not have that spiritual conversation yet, but it will come in time as we are faithful to you and to your word. And being transparent and open with the discouragements and the disillusionment and the doubt that we've had, that we can walk alongside people who are feeling the same way, because we've been there. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to all that you want us to see and to know about you today in the days and hours and weeks to come. Help us to follow after you with a total abandon. We have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Thank you, Jesus. We just commit it all to you now. And I pray, Lord Jesus, now that you would just encourage, lead, and guide each one who's here today. If there's questions, if there's doubts, that we would work this out together on the journey, just as you did with these two disciples on the way. It's true. Let's go at once. Thank you, Jesus. In your awesome name we pray. Amen.